Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Did you know I was preaching today? I was going to say, but those of you that knew and you still came, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to share the word. In your Bible readings this week, a part of that assignment was 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. That tells the story of David. I've got the scripture up here, but I'm just going to kind of tell it in my own words. David was sitting around thinking about things, and he thought, hey, you know what? I'm just wondering, is there anybody left from Saul's family? Just wonder, is anybody still alive? Well, he brings in a friend of his, Ziba, and he says, Ziba, is there anybody still alive? Because I want to bless them. For Jonathan's sake, if nobody else is, I want to bless them. And Ziba said, well, yes, there is one. His name is Mephibosheth. You try saying that. There is one. Well, where is he? He's in Lodibar. Well, if you don't know much about that, which I don't, but I know Lodibar was not a prominent city. There were not very many affluent people there. And he was the least of the affluent because as a child, he had been dropped by his caretaker. And both of his feet were damaged or legs broken, whatever happened to him. But he couldn't walk. He had to have somebody take care of him 24/7. Well, David didn't even ask, is he okay? Is he worth going to get? He said, go get him. Well, David's men went and got Mephibosheth, brought him back. And I'm sure Mephibosheth was a little bit worried about his own life because oftentimes a king would find out what descendants were still left in the land from a former king who might put a claim on the throne. And so oftentimes what the king would do is bring them in and execute them. So Mephibosheth, I'm sure, was a little worried, like, why am I being brought to King David? So he didn't know. There he was in fear and trepidation, standing before the king. But David said, Mephibosheth, yay! Sure, he gave him a big hug, and he said, from now on, he said, then Mephibosheth said, why are you even considering me? I am a low-down dog. Yeah, I don't deserve anything. I'm nothing. And David said, oh, no, that's not the situation. Here's the situation. From now on, you're not going to live in Lodibar. You're going to live right here, and you're going to eat at the king's table the rest of your life. And by the way, he called another man over, and he says, I want you to make sure you take care of his needs all the time. Make sure there's a field over here that's for him, and he gets all the fruit of the field. He's going to be blessed in every way. Now, you might be thinking that the point of the sermon, and this is one of the points, but it's not the main. One of the points is, oh, yeah, I see what. We're like King David, and we need to do good and be good, which is true. But don't forget, we are also Mephibosheth, a low-down, no-good dog in our eyes. It's like, who are we to stand before the Lord and say, be kind to us? Why should he? Why should David have been kind to Mephibosheth? He just wanted to. I want to do good to you. Well, now there's a reason David did that. One of them being God was good to him. That's why David cared. In Jeremiah 32, this is God speaking, saying, I will make an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good. There you go. That's what God said. So that's what I'm going to do. Not based on anything we have done, but based on God deciding for himself what he would do for those he had made a covenant with. He says, I'm not going to turn away from doing good. I will rejoice in doing good to them. Just get that picture. Here's God in heaven, not based on anything we have done, but God just being happy to do good things for us. If you think about your own life, think about the times that you expressed goodness, mercy, grace to someone else. Was it because they deserved it? No. You just did it. Many times. Now let me tell you, are you happier to get something or are you happier to give something? That's the times in your life that you're the happiest, when you have given to somebody else. So I'm saying that scripture there, God saying he's going to be good to us, that is the heart of the covenant. It's not something set over here. It's something right here in the center. God being good to us. So when it comes to us, we're like King David. Why do good? Because God is good. All the time. That's what we always say. Whenever I say God is good, everybody says, all the time. Well, here's some rules for doing good. See it? Hey, there it is. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, in every place you can, at all times you can, as long as you can. That makes God happy. Who else does it make happy? You. There you go. So it's not something, oh, we've got to do this. We've got to serve the Lord today. I've got to go out and do a good deed. No, it's not like that at all. The point of this sermon is when you find opportunity, do it. Get your mind off yourself and somebody else, and there's the key to happiness. So here's ways we can do good. There we are. First of all, care. Have you ever met anybody that all they cared about was themselves? Yeah. That's really our natural state. You got to get your mind off of yourself if you want to be happy. If you want God's smile upon your life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be generous. Follow the Spirit's lead. I always say this, and I use this principle myself in my prayer life, and that is, Lord, today I am going to follow your Spirit. I'm going to see what you're doing, and I'm going to do it too. I'm not saying I always do that perfectly. And there's days that I don't start it off that way. I just jump in my car and take off. You know what? Those days are not all that good when I do that. But when I stop and say, today, I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to alert me to danger while I'm driving. Anybody else need to do that? Wish you had done it at all times. Yeah. And it works, folks. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, and he will help you if you invite him into your day. You can't go wrong that way, my point. So, seize the opportunity, make it daily, and let your light shine. How hard could that be? How hard is it for the moon to reflect the sun's light toward the earth at night? Hard? Easy? No, it just hangs there. Yeah. The moon would say, it's an easy job. I just reflect the light. Well, that's the job we have as Christians. Let your light shine. Don't make it shine. Let it shine. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary. I think it's the next slide there. There you go. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap. So it may not be an immediate reaping, but it could be later. But don't worry about that. God's going to take care of you. If we do not give up. Has anybody here given up on doing good? Nobody? Great. Sermon's already working. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those in the household of faith. So what I like to say is, when people say, you know, really, it's kind of hard being good to people. I don't like people very much. And I say, well, wait a minute. You got to practice. So here's what you're going to do. Start with your husband. Start with your wife. Start with your brother, your sister. Start with your family. Yeah. because sometimes they're the hardest because they're the ones closest to you, because they get on your nerves. In spite of that, wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to find opportunity to do good to my husband. I'm going to find opportunity to do good to my wife, to my children. Well, then move on out from there. Once you get good at that, move on out from there and do good to your neighbors. Then you can move on out from there, since you passed those tests, and do good to strangers. Yeah, people you've never met. How about that? Is there another step? Then do good to your enemies. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you haven't gone through step 1, 2, 3, and 4 yet. Go through those steps. You can do it. God will help you do it. God will show His goodness through you. We were not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. So good works are not what we do for God. It's what God is doing through us. It's not a feather in your hat, but it is a star in your crown. Here's some ripples of kindness. Doing good makes your testimony credible. You know, if you're a sourpuss all day long, is anybody going to follow you to church? Makes God attentive to your prayers. He listens to those who are in tune with Him. You're on His wavelength. You have a hotline to God. So whenever you call up heaven and an angel answers the phone, says, hey God, it's Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve? Oh man, I'm so glad. I hadn't heard from him since yesterday. But yeah, I'm going to take that call. But what if God hadn't heard from you in 10 years? God might say, who? Makes God attentive. Gives God the glory. Doing good is sowing seeds of kindness. What happens when you sow a seed? It comes up many times more than you sowed. Why are so many people being good to me? I mean, I was just good to one person. It's a very small thing that I did. Look at all the goodness, the reciprocity. That's not reciprocity. That's getting what you... But it's just God being good to you through people. It produces happiness, and it's natural to the new creation. You were made to do good. Just like God does good, He made you to do good. 1 Peter 2:15 says, for this is the will of God. When you see a little phrase in the Bible that says, this is the will of God, then go, I've been wanting to do the will of God. I've been wondering what the will of God is. So let me see. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant. And that word actually is agnostic in the Bible. And the foolish, which are the naysayers. Yep. Then in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, with Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So I see that as a principle. If you're doing good, who is going to be with you? God. He's going to back you up. He's going to be leading you. He will speak and you will listen because you're doing the things that please God. I read about a man who lived out on the East Coast. He was a veteran. He didn't make much of a salary, and he lived in a kind of a small house. Very few furnishings, and that's all he wanted, because what he wanted to do with the rest of his life was to do good to other people. So who do you find to do good to? He had already been good to his neighbors, been good to his family. He would read the newspaper, and whenever he'd find some sad story or somebody that had been hurt, he would look them up and say, here you go, here's some money. And he might give away as much as $1,000. which he didn't have much of. But how many of you know God would back him up and kept providing what he needed? He gave away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars during his lifetime. I call that looking for an opportunity to do good. Now, how many opportunities do you have during the day? I don't know, but you do have some opportunities. So be thinking, Lord, here's an opportunity for me to do good. Does anybody remember the old TV show, The Millionaire? One person? Oh, y'all are all too young, sorry. Yeah, but the guy that would knock on the door, his name was Michael Anthony. Come on, y'all. And he represented a millionaire named John Beresford Tipton. Coming back to you yet? I wasn't sure whether I should use this illustration or not. But here's the point. Michael Anthony, he was an emissary of John Beresford Tipton, the millionaire. He would knock on the door and he said, I have a check for you. It's tax-free for $1 million. And then the whole TV show was all about them saying, no, it's not. This is some kind of trick. You got the wrong house. I don't know what. Get out of here. You know, they finally then accept it. Okay, but here's the point. You're not John Beresford Tipton. You're Michael Anthony. All you are, you're the delivery boy. God is the one that has the storehouse. And you get your joy out of saying, here you go. Here's a blessing from God. You're John Beresford Tipton. Anybody like that? Should I just scratch that illustration from now on? All right. Y'all have heard the story. I heard it. Wasn't in on it that day, but I think it was at McDonald's where somebody paid for the coffee or the order for people behind them. Remember that? And they said that went on all day because the person who got their coffee paid for also paid for the person behind them. And they were praying that it was not a van full of kids, you know, the whole family. But I remember this happened several years ago, but our son David, he likes doing good to people. He was driving by the neighborhood not far from our house, and there were some people that had been coming to our church, and they lived over there. And somehow or another, David, as he was driving by, saw Joe out shoveling a big old pile of dirt he had in his backyard. Well, I'm sure David had other things to do. He was going somewhere. Pulled his car over, and he says, hey, Joe, you need some help? So he helped him spread out, shovel out, and spread out in the backyard that whole pile of dirt. Guess what, folks? Joe never forgot it. From that time on, David was his favorite person. One more illustration. You know, when God provided the house that we live in, Jason back there calls it a mansion. It's a beautiful house. God provided it. He kept up the payments. He even had us pay it off in advance. We don't know how, but God did it. But what we said is, God, this is your house. I mean, if you're going to take care of the payments, it's going to be your house. Well, sure enough, God started bringing people through, and we had a drug addict actually come, and we were helping him. He stayed in our house, lived upstairs. And he said, it's not Courtney. Okay. So we were trying to help him. And he had a heart of gold. He really wanted to do right, but he kept slipping back into the drug scene. But when he came, he said, hey, listen, I want to earn my keep. He said, I see y'all don't have a fence in your backyard. And he said, I'll build you a fence. So have y'all ever seen our backyard? It's got a fence around it. Well, Dana's the one that built it. It probably still wouldn't have a fence today if he hadn't have done that. So we're talking about, 17, 18 years ago. Yeah. So anyway, it was a small thing to us, and he helped us, and we were helping him, preaching to him, helping him. And whenever he got a little freedom, he went back to his old ways. We helped him get an apartment, a garage apartment over in River Oaks. And that was beautiful. He said, come and look at my place. And, boy, y'all come over any time. He said, I just love this. And he said, I'm doing right, too. I'm not going back to drugs. Well, guess what he did later? Yeah, he went back. It was a real, very strong magnet in his life. So we didn't know what happened to him. Later, I saw a pickup pull in front. Let's call it maybe a year later. Before that, one day he came walking by, came up to my house, and he said, hey, Steve, I want you to come and see where I'm living now. And I said, oh, great. I thought, this is going to be good. Yeah, I'm going to show you. So we drive out to this freeway under a bridge. He said, there's where I live. And he was happy about it. He said, it's warm. It's good. He said, that's where I live. I said, oh, well, that's great. Well, then it was about a year later, this big shiny pickup pulls up in front of our house. He gets out of it, and he's got a woman with him, and he said, this is my wife. He said, I'm a foreman of a construction crew, and I'm totally free from drugs. I always say, tell a story that has a good ending to it. That one didn't have a good ending for a long time. A pot of self-pity is emptied by a single good deed. That's good. I'm going to skip that scripture there. Or was there one there? I don't think there was. I have another friend, and he's not here this morning, but sometimes he comes to church here. But he had been to several other churches, and the reason that we're such good friends is he told me one time, he said, you're the first preacher that's ever listened to me. Did you know listening is a form of kindness? I didn't think of that. I wasn't thinking, I'm going to be good to this person. I'm going to listen. No, I mean, I listen to people. And so I said, what do you mean, no preacher? He said, they always tell me to make an appointment. Not this pastor, not Pastor Doug. He listens to people. It's one of the things I like about him. But anyway, he said, you listen to me. And sometimes he'll come and say, hey, Pastor, is there anything I can do to help you around your house? He said, you need me to dig a ditch, build a fence, do anything, mow your yard, chop down a tree? I mean, I'm talking about serious stuff. I want to help you. Well, little deeds of kindness go a long way, even if it's just listening. All of us want to do something for God. But we usually think in terms of something mighty, something big, something tremendous, something earth-shaking that we can do for God. However, Jesus said, as you have done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I like Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so they may see what? Your church attendance? How many times a day you pray, read the Bible? No. So they might see what? Your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. Because David showed mercy, and as you know, he was not a perfect man, but the Bible says he had a heart for God. And that's what God responded to with David. Because he was merciful, God was merciful to him. And David, being aware of God's mercy, later wrote in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There you go. That's just how it works, folks. Goodness and mercy is going to follow you as well. Will, you want to come up and... Oh, you're not quitting yet, are you, preacher? No, I'm not quitting. I'm stopping, though. It doesn't take too much to get a laugh around here, does it? That's so nice. Y'all are so kind. You've already done a good deed today. So, how about you? Look behind you. Goodness and mercy are following you. That's what God is doing for you. And that's what God is doing through you. So he follows you in order to overtake you and express himself through you. Get it? Got it? Do I need to go on, keep on preaching? No? Okay, you ready? Are you ready for the closing prayer? All right, if you'd like to, pray along with me this prayer. You got it there, Valerie? Oh, here we go. Okay, ready? Lord, you have sworn to do good to us. You always look for opportunity to bless us. Because of this, we in turn will look for opportunities to bless and do good to others. It keeps our hearts open to your will and those in need. Your word says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven us. Jesus commanded this, and there's a blessing that goes with it. We will let our light shine by doing this with intention, not for attention. We will keep our hearts and hands open to good on every occasion. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen. Thank y'all for listening so attentively and laughing at the right time. Yeah, thank y'all so much. God bless you for being here. If there's anything you'd like prayer about, I'll be up here. Our other staff will be up here. Thank you for being me this morning by taking on all that responsibility. And so y'all just tell Pastor Doug and Tasha how tremendous it was and how glad you are to have them back. And God bless you for being here. You're dismissed.